Yeah, working in terms of buildings, one of that is 12 years in this, and second, we have a content repository. We are streaming content and providing a platform where content provider can manage all the content. I'm looking mainly interested in web folders, and we are building an intelligent web folder, so I'm looking for it.
Hi, my name is Amit Shah. Actually, he's my colleague. We are working in the same company, Sarai Technologies. Actually, we have a content distribution platform using which content providers can dump their content into the platform. And that can be distributed using any systems like IVR systems or SMB filters or Google filters. That's my question.
Hi, I'm Francis D'Souza. I work for a company called Nemozo, and we are basically into the SIM card and the WIM card in case of CDMA and CDMA networks, and the applications that are there on the
Hi, I'm Anuj. I work for a company which is now acquired.
I'm sorry. Hi, I'm Anuj. I work for a company which is now acquired by Hands-On Mobile USA, and we do mobile instant messaging, mobile community applications like photo blogging. So VDC is what we do, and so that's why we
have.
I'm Ashish,
another one of the company.
I'm
Sameer, I guess I'm not here.
Alright, so I guess all the introductions are true.
I'm Girish Mania. I'm from Nextstep Publishing. I am strategy and business development, where we are a traditional print publishing, the guys who manipulate the general public. But we are actively looking at the mobile space. We are a Yellow Pages and a magazine publishing company. So we're looking at trying to do something customized for that medium and not trying to paste the print product on the mobile and
Car India, Bike India, Smart Photography, and do that.
Okay.
They are special in this only, non English.
Anybody that didn't miss that? So, what we would do is, I think we have a lot of topics to cover, but I think time is short. So, what we should do, see, all of us, let's make comments, let's discuss things, but also let's keep the time limits in mind. So, make it very succinct, very precise what you're trying to say. What we'll do is, we'll have 10 minutes of uninterrupted discussion. But then we'll let the food interrupt our discussion. We can bring the food here. We can start discussing. But let's not, break after that. Let's not break them into small groups to discuss, because that can happen, at a later point, probably after some time. But let's bring the food and, discuss things. But before that, let's have 10 minutes of uninterrupted discussion. What we'll do is, let's pick up some of the points. I think the speakers have raised some brilliant points. I think it will be very difficult for us. So if anybody has some points, I'm just outlining some issues that are there to be covered as part of UGC. If I'm missing out on anything that the speakers have covered, or if you have it in mind, let's bring it up after I outline the points. What are the points of
you
want?
Can you some questions here?
Sure.
And then you're going on about the points.
Yes.
This is user-generated content.
Yeah, I'm just outlining the issues that
are there.
Only
if it stops, then you again start
the
thing. It stops on its own.
Yeah. Okay. Give me a minute. What I'll do is, I'll just give three important points that are part of UGC. If those we feel if we're worth discussing, we should do that. Otherwise, we should start. So one of the most important things in UGC is what we talked about, who has the control or who owns the content. I think one of the most important issues is that has to be considered. Recently, a site called Zig.com, which is one of the most popular internet sites, got into some sort of issue where who owns the content? Is it Zig? So it's, I'm sure Faisal also must be pondering over that. But is it the aggregator who owns the content? Is it the user who's creating the content? Who owns the content? Who owns the content? That is one of the issues. Secondly, because based on that comes the issue of pricing and the value chain. Who earns money where in the value system? So that is one of the important issues that is there. Secondly, we talk about the fact that what is the difference between the mainstream press and the user generated listing? So what is the power? Who has the power? Why they have the power? And what can be done so that the user generated site or content site can have the power? So I think the power distribution between the two, and why does a printed press, like a Times of India, if it writes an article, why is it taken with so much of value rather than probably this thing? So that is something, another thing that has to be discussed. I think what I'll do is, I think I'll take your advice. not talk too much. Let's start with the Muslim. So who's going to raise the hand first and start?
This is Hedy.
No, I'm
Sarah. Alan
Borke.
Yes, please. Alan.
This is mainstream media, the internet, and mobile. My view is fundamental differences between these platforms. Mainstream media typically broadcasts a digitally generated set of users for consuming content. Give them more number of channels, there are more options to choose between channels. So the program is always to restrict one area of content. And that forms a community, digital community. The internet, more peer-reviewed, more peer-to-peer, asynchronous, the potential to create many different kinds of communities, micro-community, medium-sized community, and mega-community. It may be a television or a print medium will not work below a certain scale because they cannot monetize that. The internet is more accommodating those mobile, however, I feel is more about highly synchronous, immediate small community, limited to the photo right now, and the potential is very high. So it's okay, a rate party is happening. SMS is also, it's not going to have a rate party happening outside town. SMS is also a lot of work, somebody else's homework, somebody else's homework, but it's a very smart business community. I think the mobile space is more about micro content and more about micro community. And I think
couple of points I'd like to make about, like, I did a presentation where it was saying, like, how many bloggers or viewers were there looking to just a safer blog, which is not like the only kind of people who blogs or who reviews. It's not really like they are interested in sharing their thoughts. Definitely that's interested in sharing your thoughts. But another part of it is very important is, you know, to build up the social value. Like, a couple of experiences, like, what we have is, like, one becomes a virtual identity, and you go to, you know, any kind of one conference or the conferences, you know, you don't say your name. So now people, you know, talk about, oh, hello, I'm Lokasham. So that's a blog. Okay, I'll go, hello, I'm Vijay Kukar or WordPress. People know my blog, people don't even know me. That's my virtual identity. And I use that personal identity very effectively. Like, I've been blogging for quite a few time, and whenever I introduce myself, you know, I use a blog, you know, people go and see the blog. So it's not only for free, you know, people love, or, you know, like, I want to share my thoughts. It's also like a very cheap way where, you know, I can communicate my ideas to people, get to know me. And, you know, whenever I go, you know, I can use it as a platform. So, like, a couple of experiences, like, what happens is, you see, you know, bloggers, you know, they treat their audience, you know, as very, you know, sacred. So, if they go on a holiday, you know, they post on a blog, you know, it's going to be slow blogging for this week because I'm off to a vacation, I'm off to this here and there. So, that means, there's an accountability over there. If I'm only going, you know, for, when I just do, but I'm accountable, right? I'm not accountable to anybody. We treat our audiences very sacred, so we treat them that we are accountable to them. So, whenever I'm on a, you know, I'm on vacation, I may not blog and I'm busy, you know, I don't post, like, okay, you know, I'm used to busy with this kind of activity, so I'll not be, you know, blogging. So people understand that part, right? So, a major chunk of people who generate content on the internet is not only, you know, they want to share views, they also want to build their social value. So they are also getting something in return. Until and unless a person gets something in return, and, you know, there is no accident over there.
Point well taken. I think that your emphasis is people just don't share because they just want to share their views, but also gratification. I think that, you know, if you see the Maslowian hierarchy, you're right. So ego satisfaction, altruism is big time on the internet, so point very well taken. I think somebody else
has. Yeah. I don't know when he said that about micro communities on the mobile platform. I think the issue over here is this coming. I mean, there's more amount of noise in content, and we can talk about blogging. Some statistics say that 7% of the Indian population actually blogs, though 40% reads. If you talk about UGC, there are two different aspects: content creation and the fact that people like to read UGC, like to view UGC. Talking about YouTube, tons of videos over there, the one that actually get viewed are very limited. So the whole issue is, there's a lot of noise over there, and how to discover content. And that's where this point about micro communities makes sense. Because I can't just publish it and hope somebody will discover it. Discovery on mobile phone is a huge challenge. And that's where I believe people like Yahoo, people like Google, who actually own communities with instant messaging and presence, will have a huge advantage. Because now you're able to link your blog to your presence and to your IM, and discovery by your friends becomes very easy. So somebody coming into the picture, allowing a platform to create content, I don't know how it's going to get discovered. So the whole challenge is discovery of mobile phones and not just creation.
I think getting the word out is a challenge for micro content. We all agree. There's more than 50 million blogs out there. More than 98.5% do not have more than 2 readers. That's Pew Internet Research latest findings. So you're absolutely right. How do you get the word out of the micro content? And that is the whole challenge the operators also have to think about, the dissemination of the content that is created by the user. But the volume is so large. What about the rules?
What about the choice of the consumer to be able to figure out what is the good content and what is the trash? Because in the published environment, at least we had some benchmarks. We had some benchmarks in the published environment. Now, thereafter, those so-called benchmarks got bastardized, and by the end of it, you had people putting up shit in front of you and saying, this is what I want you to read. But if I went into a library that had a billion books, I would be insane. So, just like they're saying that from the blogger's point of view, we need to get across. From the reader's point of view, although the internet is such a fat pipe, maybe guys out here would like to tell us how is it that a user would actually end up finding his content, and then who would own that finding mechanism, and would he then become the new custodian of the wills of those people in those micro communities?
I think Allah would like to make a comment. Actually, you have hit upon a very important point. I think Anuj started, your point about discovery is well taken, but I think we'll just add one this thing before I address what the important question was raised here, is that it's not about discovery only on mobiles. Discovery in general is a problem. And if you, I think we are debating here, you know, established media and versus, you know, this UGC media. I think that's one very important point we have to address, is what is the value of a newspaper? Okay, the value of a newspaper is its editorial. Is that no trash content, no unverified content will ever be on the homepage or in the newspaper itself. So that is
unless, unless you're reading some national daily
current. Yeah, now so that has to be probably taken with a song. But yeah, that's the idea. You know, it may be not true anymore, but that's the idea that, okay, what does the newspaper do? It makes sure that data collections happen properly, verification happens, authentication happens, and then only, and then the decision that this is important and this is not important. That is what happens. So what happens here is, what Pankaj has raised the point is that what is the new platform that has to be there? Is it just about creation? Is it about discovery? Is it about the fact that what is important and what is not important? Who decides what is important? Now again, here I would like to add a point that, again, what is it, you know, so there's something called the wisdom of crowd. So if one is to say that we rely on an editor, okay, when we say that this is one thought, it's not about right or wrong. The point is, one may rely on an editorial judgment of an individual, that this story is important, this story is not important. Other is to rely on the wisdom of the crowd, okay, which is what some sites like Dig, etc. do, and which is what we are coming out in something for India in Blogstreet, is they let the user decide what is it, what is important and what is not. So then the user works for it. So users create content, users vote for that content. So it's all about the users. And after a point, where certain level, you may need editorial, but you don't need editorial at all levels. So that's the thought.
Let users decide everything. Users are very smart, trust me. I mean, in eBay, this question that Pankaj raised was raised in eBay way back in 1996. How do you let people decide who's a genuine seller on eBay, who's not, who's a fraud? There were a lot of frauds happening. So eBay came up with this whole reputation system. And today eBay's reputation system is a benchmark among online community managers. I mean, there are several articles that have been published in Harvard Business Review. And it's a casebook example of how users' ratings about genuine sellers and genuine buyers can impact the whole community. So users can decide what is a good content and what is good, you know, that there could be a rating mechanism that we have to evolve. And there are attempts to do that. I mean, I'm not sure, no review can be trusted without other reviews, other users saying whether the review is useful or not. So just like people can rate the product, others can come and rate your reviews.
Reviews, I understand, some of the genuine space of blogs and contribution, you know, which is I mean, if you go into a space, there are pictures, every third guy with a VGA camera is taking his photo, my photo, third photo, and that is deemed to be content. It's sure it is content, but it's not worth consumption. Not in the past, some of it is. And who is to help in terms of, they will emerge possibly people who will become, who would say that, I think these top 10 things, I would call, say, maybe a gentleman like this will turn up somewhere, and his blog would end up linking to my other blogs. But I need to first know that he's a great blogger, and you need first to understand that.
Yeah.
Maybe
this will be
So is there anything before dinner? Because
the second question.
Yes, please.
Since everybody is all gung ho about blogging and stuff like that, one unanswered question is nothing goes free in the space. So while you are able to contribute your content, that's great, and you all have a new life and stuff like that. How do you end up monetizing your support and advertising?
Apart from advertising, is there any other way of monetizing this?
No, for example, I'll give you an example. Okay, I'll give you an example. I've read his blog, and I've read somebody else who's written for this one, and I've read that thing. I would like to use his services in my magazine, and I would use him as a contributor.
Marketing.
He could be a content provider for traditional media.
He could
be a content provider, for your class services. I don't know.
All those things are getting released these days, their authors, they have their own blogs, so they use their mechanisms to promote their books. And it has been done to
promote their books as well.
No, not as a paper, it's a small community where whatever content they want to put in the book, like one good example is Long Tail, that is Anderson, where he wrote the main reason for his blogging was that, first of all, he wanted
to. What is Krishna going on? He has to learn in the environment in which he has to operate, right?
Yeah.
So people go out and expose, and they click stuff and they upload it, and across networks, and people have to go and use to sustain it. So we have to think around some format, apart from just.
What I firmly believe is that not every content on internet and mobile would get monetized in a real way. Now, one of the points which I will raise was about altruism. A lot of people, on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, one of the reasons why people blog is not that they want to get paid or they want to monetize their blog, but maybe they want to get a peer review, good, your blog was good, or they want to say they wrote 10,000 people come and visit my blog. Now, coming to the question of how operators are going to monetize it, and I think one of the only ways, I'm sure operators will not like this to hear, but that's where the thought comes to me is that it's going to be only from the data usage revenue point of view. What NTT DoCoMo today does is that it has a data revenue, we say, as well as the content download, we say, retains 100% of the data revenue, we say, gives certain share of the content download, we say. But the kind of content that is coming, I mean, as Pankaj rightly said, someone clicks a photograph, puts up and says it's a content. Sorry, it cannot be a content at all. It's just a piece of data or an information, I would say, but not a content. So given that particular context, monetizing for an operator, according to me, on a long run, might happen only from the data usage point of view, and may not be from actual content download the way it's happening on the ringtone and all.
Rather, there's another point to it, actually. See, what we have to understand is, it is content. Technically, it is content, but the audience for it, see, there is always a difference in the audience. So, if you are saying that the content is for 1 billion people, okay, then it is the content for the masses. Then, so, the choice is really between, so, if I produce a picture of myself, the audience for that is 10 people, that is my family and friends. It is a content for those 10 people. If I produce something very nice, it might be good for 10,000 people. So that's content for those 10,000 people. Another thing we have to make sure, I think I'll leave with that thought probably, and then we'll go for the food, is that it is not only the probably the data revenues that the operator can actually get into. It is think about yourself as, what does Stardy we do?
Star TV today is commissioning programs, but Balaji is producing it. What if the operators think of themselves as networks and where the users promote content? Okay, what if that scenario comes into picture where rating reviews are there and then the operators in charge for it? There's no difference between a network and a Star TV today and an operator thinking of themselves as networks. So that I'll leave with that thought for we can. I think we'll continue. We'll, yeah.